I really am. I was out in the hallway this morning for a little bit while the service was just beginning to start up, and I heard the singing, and I thought, I am so grateful to be in the house of God this morning. And it was good to be in God's house today. The mystery of the 144,000. There's really not a whole lot of mysteries about it, but the world wants to make much out of it. The 144,000 are not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not the faithful Seventh-day Adventists that believe that that God's going to come, and because they're observing the Sabbath on Saturday and they're faithful, they're going to be 144,000 taken up. That premise was blown out of the water years ago whenever they found out that they had like 7.6 million in their churches or something worldwide. So it's like, oh, who's the same way the Jehovah's Witnesses? For the longest time, Charles Taz Russell and his group, they preached that the Jehovah's Witnesses were going to be the 144,000. They still believe that, as a matter of fact, but there's so many more of them. So now they've changed it to the faithful Jehovah's Witnesses will be the 144,000. Listen, that's what happens whenever you don't go by Bible doctrine, you just continue to change it. Amen? Let's just stick with the Word of God. So let's read a couple verses, and then we'll get into this. By the way, chapter 7 is a parenthetical chapter. It's a pause, if you will. Chapter 6, we saw the seals were being opened. The seventh seal will not be opened until chapter number 8. So it's kind of a pause. Up to this point, after the letters to the churches, we've seen the revelation has kind of fallen chronologically, okay? It's kind of gone in order. It's beginning the first part of the tribulation. Chapter number 7 doesn't really fit in there chronologically. It kind of gives us an overview of the whole tribulation because we're going to deal with the 144,000, but literally they don't show up on the scene until later on, okay? More than likely, they were saved underneath the preaching of the two witnesses. And then in the latter part of chapter number 7, we're going to get a glimpse later on into heaven where we have the martyred saints. So chapter 7, if you're reading through and you read Revelation, you get to 6 and you want to kind of follow along chronologically, skip over 7 and go right on to 8. And because 7 is not exactly, doesn't fit in there like that. So that to kind of give you a little bit of a heads up. Verse number 1, it says, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth. That the wind should not blow, no. Nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. By the way, these names come from the sons of Jacob. Almost. There's a couple changes in this, and we'll make mention of that tonight. Of the tribe of Manasseh, that's one of them. Manasseh was not originally a child of Jacob. Manasseh was whose son? Does anybody remember? Joseph, right? Joseph. You have two that are taken out of the list. Dan and Ephraim are taken out. And you have Manasseh and Benjamin, I think that may be true. Manasseh and Benjamin, yes, are added in. Or no, not Manasseh. Manasseh and Levi are added in. No, that's not right either. Whenever I get to it in the sermon, I'll have it correct. Okay, so just trust me. All right, now I'm confused. Sorry, Joseph, Benjamin, they're added. No, not Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. So never mind. Just scratch the last 3 minutes of my ramblings, amen? So let me finish reading it, all right? Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And it goes on then, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And I'm going to stop there because I don't want to get into the next part. So we're going to deal with the mystery of the 144,000 first. And we talked about last week a deliberate pause in the scheme of things as they're going through this. And Amber, mine won't change tonight. I don't know why. It worked this morning, but it won't work tonight. So the reason for this pause, I really believe the reason for this pause is because God wants to demonstrate His mercy once again. He wants to tell, He wants to show that in the midst of judgment that there's still grace. Because there's always this question, are people going to be saved during the tribulation? Absolutely. Millions of people are going to be saved during this time. But people say, well, then I'll just wait. Remember, millions are going to be saved, but billions are going to die. And many of those billions are going to die without Jesus Christ as their Savior. But millions are going to be saved. Right here, 144,000 are going to be saved. And these go out. These are what we're going to call Jewish or Hebrew evangelists. They are converted to Christianity. They are chosen out of the tribes of Israel, more than likely by the preaching of the two witnesses that stood there in Jerusalem. I believe there are probably more than 12,000 that will be saved, but a minimum of 12,000 out of each tribe. These will be specifically sealed. These will be specifically told to go and preach around the world. You say, what difference does it make about 144,000? Well, I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, why 144,000? What's the significance of that? Do you realize that there's only about 30 to 35,000 missionaries today of all denominations? If we were to say of gospel preaching denominations, of those that are not there on medical missions and all of that, that their primary focus is to see souls saved and to build churches, we'd have to say there's only about 10 or 12,000. And I'm going to tell you something. Our 10 or 12,000 missionaries have made quite a difference. But can you imagine 144,000? We're talking over 10 times as many. And these are young men. Every time I think about this, I think about the young Mormon missionaries and how many doors they knock on. These are 144,000 single men, never been defiled by women. They're sexually pure. Their love, their focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine what they're going to do in this time. They're sealed. They're protected. And they're going to go forth and preach the gospel. So the results of this pause, we talked about it last week. We saw the angels. What were they doing? How they're holding back the winds. And you say, why is that significant? Once again, God's just showing and demonstrating His power. Plus, can you imagine for a moment the havoc that would be wreaked upon our globe if there were no winds? None at all. See, the winds bring in the heat, and you know that's how the cold fronts move in and all of that. I don't know about you, but if I was here on this earth, I would hate to be in a place during this time when it was raining. There's no wind to blow away the rain. It just sat there, just a deluge right there. Or a place where it was hot. Can you imagine? Just heat. And God's just demonstrating. But in the middle of this, as we got to last week, there's an angel that rises up. Point number two, Amber, and I think we touched on this, but as John watches, a fifth angel appears. And as I told you last week, many people want to say, well, this angel is probably Jesus. Well, we've got a problem with that. The biggest problem is this. No place in the Word of God is Jesus referred to as an angel. None. It wouldn't start here. Because throughout the Revelation, He's either called the Lamb or the Lion. Amen? Not an angel. I don't know who this angel is. More than likely, it may be Michael, the archangel. It may be somebody. It may be a completely different angel. But one thing about Him, He's got a lot of power. Verse 2, notice this. And I saw another angel. The word another there tells us that it's just another angel. not a special angel, not, but there's something about him. Ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Now, the intention of this angel is to seal the servants of God in their forehead. Now, I talked to you guys about this last week, how the devil is a master impersonator. The saints of God during the tribulation period will have apparently at least these saints here will have a seal in their forehead. And I told you a little bit about the books, Tim LaHaye books, and he writes that, you know, that all Christians during the tribulation period have that so they can identify one another. I don't know about that, but it seems like a good idea. I guess if I were writing a book, I'd probably put that in there. But God's chosen them. He's sealed them. There's a certain preservation to this, not just a preservation for their soul, but think about what all's going on in this time period. Billions of people are dying. And we've got earthquakes. We've got mountains being flattened. We've got the devastation of famine and all of that. Yet God seals these. And we see over in chapter 14 where they all show up in heaven. So apparently every one of them lived through all this time. And sometimes we forget how powerful God is. He seals them and He keeps them safe. But this angel, his role, his job is to make sure that these servants have the seal of God in their forehead. I told you last week, it's a seal of possession. What? Know you not that you're bought with a what? With a price. And we're God's. So we're His possession. It's a seal of protection. Why? Because the devil's wanting to destroy as many as he can. And he does. But then we see these 12 tribes, these 144,000. Point number three, Amber, is where we're going to be at. We're going to see a distinct people. So pick it up with me in verse number 4. And the Bible says this, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, you notice a couple of things. Back up to verse number 3, down toward the end of it, it says, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I was thinking, as I was going through this, I thought, I wonder what the word servant there means. You know, that word servant carries with it the idea of a slave, but a different type. Now, let me give you a little bit of things that I read in order for this. The word here is doulos. That's the Greek word, and it means to bind, or it means a slave. Originally, the lowest term in the scale of servitude, but it came also to mean, here's what this word means here in this text. It also means one who gives himself up to the will of another. That's what you and I are. You know, when the Bible talks about servants, it carries with it the idea of a bond slave. Someone has been bought. But we're not slaves to God. We were slaves to sin. Amen? We had no choice but to serve sin. But now we're servants to God. We've been bought, so yeah, we are bond slaves in the idea. But we serve Him not because we have to, but because we want to. And all God's people said, amen. So when it says servants there, some of the new versions, they put the word slave in there. My friend, God's people have never been slaves to anything after salvation. We were slaves before salvation, but we're servants today. And we realize we've been bought with a price, but we want to serve Him. So that's the idea there. So whenever you hear that, like I said, many of the modern versions, many of the modern teachers will say, well, that means bond slave, and these people are slaves to God. I despise that connotation. I'm not a slave to God. I'm a servant to God. I serve Him because I want to, not because I have to. See, the world wants to tell us, well, you guys use God as a crutch, and you've got to. No, no, no. We come to church because we want to. We read our Bibles because we want to. We pray because we want to. We want to worship and serve the one that saved our souls, that's redeemed us from being slaves to sin. So when you read about that, so that's just a thought there. These people are saved. They're sealed. They're sold out servants of Jesus. But who are they? Well, there are 144,000 missionaries. But there are 144,000 missionaries that have got the seal of God on them. They can't die. They can't starve. Apparently, they can't be put in jail. They are free to go about the globe delivering the gospel message until God says stop. This is a powerful army right here. This is unbelievable. So the Bible is very clear as to where these people come from. They're from all of the tribes of the children of Israel. Over the years, and I've already said some of this, but I'll repeat it. Over the years, many groups have tried to claim they're part of the 144,000. The Jehovah's Witnesses are probably one of the biggest groups that have. The one guy, Armstrong, I think is his name, the Worldwide Church of God, he's still on radio and some of that, and the Seventh-day Adventists and others have all tried to make that claim. Well, here's the deal. If anybody comes up to you and claims to be part of the 144,000, what you do is you just simply ask them, what tribe are you from? Amen. And then to say, here, hold your finger here. Go with me to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. The second thing you ask them is this. Are you a male? Not do you identify as a male? This whole wicked pronoun business. Amen. Well, I identify. How many of you saw that fat, weirdo, freak man that wanted to be a woman in the Olympics as a weightlifter has been named Woman of the Year or something in that? And I'm like, he's a man. And he is mentally disturbed because he claims to be a woman. We ought not to be putting those people on a pedestal. We ought to be putting them in a padded room because they're freaks and weirdos. And the devil has so distorted their minds. And then people, isn't that so neat? No, that's not neat. That's weird, wicked, vile. And they want your children. They can't reproduce, but they recruit. Okay, that's enough. Amen, that's it. All right, so we'll go on. All right, chapter 14 of Revelation. It says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb. Oh, not an angel. Get that? A lamb, capital L, by the way. Because that's a reference to Jesus Christ. Stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And get this, no man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So they were saved. Amen. They're the only one that's in this special choir. Out of all the songs in Revelation, this is the only one that is only for one distinct people group. Notice something else about them. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Okay? So here's some things about this 144 men. First of all, they're men. Second of all, apparently they're virgins. They've never been defiled with women. They're sexually pure. By the way, that would make an awesome missionary force. Then they're sealed by God. There are 12,000 from each tribe. All right, go back with me to Revelation 7. Revelation 7 again. So there's 12,000. 12, why is 12? Well, 12, Wendell, is the biblical number associated with Israel. I know Wendell likes numbers in the Bible. 4, you know, and all that. But 12. There were 12 tribes in Israel. There were 12 loaves of bread on the table of showbread in the tabernacle. There were 12 gates into the city of Jerusalem. There were 12 stones in the breastplate of the high priest. 12. The Lord is showing us that these men are from the nation of Israel, and he's teaching us a valuable lesson. You ready? Here's the valuable lesson. God's not finished with Israel. There's a reason why Romans 9, 10, and 11 are stuck right in the middle of the book of Romans. Those chapters deal with the nation of Israel. God's not finished with it. Though we use verses out of chapter 10 to lead people to the Lord. But God's not finished with the nation of Israel yet. No matter what, the current prime ministers say, no matter how wicked and vile they are, there's going to be a great religious revival in the land of Israel one day. And God's going to supernaturally protect them. And we may see it in our lifetime, right before the rapture or right after. Right around that time period, China and all the rest of them are going to attack Israel, and God's going to supernaturally protect them and blast everybody around. Amen. God's still in control of all this. Joe Biden's not. It's obvious that he's not. He couldn't even run his own car, much less anything else. So why are some of the tribes not mentioned? Okay, now, there are two tribes. They're not mentioned. Dan and Ephraim are not. The tribe of Levi, which did not receive an inheritance among the other tribes, is mentioned. Remember, the tribe of Levi were to be servants of God, and that was their inheritance, not land. But you'll notice that the tribe of Joseph is mentioned. So if you go all the way back to Genesis 48, Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, were adopted by Jacob and given an inheritance in Israel. I'm sorry, not Ephraim, Benjamin. And you see here, Benjamin? No, it's not Benjamin. Ephraim and Manasseh, right? There we go. Okay, I've got it now. Thank you. All right. But Ephraim and Dan went into massive idolatry during the times of the kings. One of the writers that I read after said that these men were sealed out of these tribes, but evidently it was God's will that the tribes of Dan and Ephraim go through the tribulation. Maybe for purification, I don't know. But all I know is they're not there. So how will they be saved? How will these 144,000 be saved? I don't know. Go with me to chapter 11 of Revelation. Chapter 11. And let's read about a couple preachers. All right? That the Antichrist will hate. Verse number 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. Chapter 11, Revelation. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. By the way, there's a future temple going to be built. And that third temple is going to be built. If you believe in conspiracy theories and all of that, if you read all the stuff on the internet, even before the internet, I've been reading for years and years, they've got everything ready. I remember when we were at Landmark, Pastor Carter said, they need one thing. They need one thing in order to be completely ready for all the temple sacrifices. And what they needed was a red heifer. And boy, they had tried to breed one for many years, and they couldn't get it. And in about 2002, somewhere right in Ireland there, they bred a line of red heifers so that they could have... See, the red heifer needs to be sacrificed in order to purify the priest. Here's what else has happened the last few years. In the last few years, the tribe of Levi, based on DNA technology, have begun to find out who was actually in the tribe of Levi. And it doesn't matter really if they know or not. God knows. Let me give you guys another little tidbit. One of the biggest genealogical keeping groups in the world are the Mormons. And I've read several things through the years. Now, the Mormons, they believe that because of that, they can trace their genealogy, and that's how we're going to get to heaven. You only get to heaven through Jesus Christ. That's it. But there may be an indication that the people of Israel are going to be able to use their genealogical findings to trace back which tribe they belong to. It's important for them, by the way. So how will they be saved? Let's read on. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. Praise God for that. Amen. We may not be able to go into the holy temple here, but in this area, but we'll be able to stand on the outside and look in. And that's just as good because we'll still be there. Amen. But God's got a special place for the nation of Israel. He always had. And I had one man ask me, he said, why is that? I don't know. I don't know why he saved me. I can't even tell you why he saved me. So I'm not even going to delve on the other. Let's go on. It says, and I will give power, verse number 3, it says, I will give power, back up, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. By the way, that's half the tribulation period. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Wouldn't that be cool? Amen. How many of you would kind of like to have that power today? Amen. All right. All right, let's go on. It says, and devoureth their enemies. It's getting better and better. I'm thinking, man, God, could you just let me be one of those guys? I've got a lot of people I want to breathe on. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So apparently, if anybody tries to attack them, fire is going to come out of their mouth and destroy them. You say, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you. You ready? Fire is going to come out of their mouth and they're going to destroy them. If the plain sense of the Bible, you know, just comes right along, don't seek anything else. Just take it for what it means. And if we're proven wrong and it means something else, that'll be fine. I'm still saved whether I'm right on the interpretation of Revelation or not. And all the little details. These have power. Now notice what else. They have power to shut heaven and it rained not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. But you notice, not until they're finished. Finished in their testimony. And their dead bodies shall lie on the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their bodies 3 days and a half. Imagine the mocking that's going on at this time. Shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. Notice this. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another. Man, it sounds like they're mocking Christmas, doesn't it? The death of those Christians, the death of those preachers, we're going to send gifts. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Tormented them? With truth. Amen? And after 3 days and a half, you got to love God. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet. And here you go. Great fear fell upon them which saw them. How many of you believe that Facebook, Instagram, CNN, Fox News, they're going to cut their news feed about that point? Amen. They don't want people to see that. That's not going to be on the internet that's controlled by Mark Zuckerberg and all the rest. The great fear is going to fall on just the people that are there pretty close. And then let's read on. This is not really part of tonight's message, but it's really good. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Boy, that's almost like the words at the beginning of the rapture. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Boy, sometimes God's word is classic understatement. And that's one of them. I believe that the 144,000 will be saved as a result of these two Jewish witnesses. I could be wrong. They could be saved by others, but it just kind of falls into place. But what makes these 144,000 so special? Because obviously they have kept themselves pure for a purpose. Before their salvation, these men decided, I'm going to be distinct. I'm going to be different. Can you imagine with me how wicked this world is going to be after the saints of God are raptured out? Can you imagine with me how difficult it's going to be for 144,000 young men to remain sexually pure before salvation? There's something distinct about these young men. Something special about them before God ever saved them. The Bible says these 144,000 came from the 12 tribes. Let me finish with what the 12 tribes' names mean. And then I'm going to put it all together for you. I didn't come up with this. I read it and I thought, that's really good. Judah means praisers of God. Praisers of God. Reuben means looking to the sun. Not the sun there, but the sun there. Judah, praisers of God. Reuben, looking to the sun. Gad simply means a company of. A company of. Or a troop of. Asher means blessed ones. Blessed ones. Naphtali means wrestling with. Manasseh, forgetfulness. Not forgetfulness because they're old, but forgetfulness of all that flesh and man try to bring up to their memory. Simeon means hearing and obeying. Levi means cleaving to. Issachar means a reward. Zebulun means a home and a dwelling place. Joseph means adding. And Benjamin means sons at God's right hand. So let's put it all together. The 12 tribes then are praisers of God that are looking to the sun. They're a company of blessed ones that are wrestling with forgetfulness and are hearing and obeying the Lord. They're cleaving to a reward, a home and a dwelling place. They're adding sons at God's right hand. Isn't that good? You wonder, why them? Because God has a special purpose and plan for them. Anything that marks them as special. Oh, another thing that marks them as special is this. God knows who they are. He knows what tribe they're from and all of it. Up to this point, ever since the temple's been destroyed and the Jews were dispersed around the world, ever since then, really essentially, only one Jew has known what tribe he was from. Absolutely. And that was Jesus. All the rest, they're not sure. But God is sure. Now these men, what they do, if you were to read, and I'm not going to take you back over there, but if you were to read Matthew 24, it says this, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." For 2,000 years, we've done our best to evangelize the world. Really, I don't know if we've done our best, but we've tried. With our mission work and all that, we have spent tens of billions of dollars trying to do it. It just hasn't been accomplished yet. During the tribulation period, in just a few short years, this 144,000 group, they're going to accomplish something that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ hadn't been able to do in 2,000 years. They're going to get the gospel to every creature. I have one word. Wow. That's what Carol put on my cake over there. Wow. That's almost unbelievable, isn't it? But it's amazing how God can do that. These 144,000, there's still some mysteries about them. But what we know is this. God has a great plan to save many people during this terrible time of tribulation. During this terrible time of tribulation, God's grace is still amazing. And God still wants people to be born again. Amen? You and I are not part of the 144,000. None of us in this room are. But we still have the same calling to preach the gospel. Each one of you can carry the gospel to a different place than I can this week. One of the things that our church has kind of fallen back on is getting the gospel. God, help us this week to be faithful in this. Amen? Well, let's pray. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. We stand in awe at the Word of God. Lord, we see how you've chosen these young men to carry the gospel. But Lord, at the same time, we see how you've chosen us to carry the gospel in our lifetimes. Help us to be faithful with that. Because God, you've sealed us. You've protected us. May we follow you. Thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that in the midst of judgment, you show grace and mercy. I'm thankful tonight, Lord, that I'm a servant and no longer a slave to sin. Help us to serve you this week. May we rejoice because your grace truly is amazing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a power.